You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up at noon. You can feel a little bit better going into the weekend. Release. Get something off your chest. Someone or something has made you mad, and we've got a really cool prize. Dierks Bentley tickets at Bridgestone Arena. That'll be Friday, February 25th, so that's what's on the line for You Just Made the List, but you'll have to call in and participate. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. He's Jim Wyatt. He covers the Titans for TennesseeTitans.com. And the news getting out this morning, I just read it at the beginning of the show, Mike Garofalo tweeting out that the Titans are not only signing Adrian Peterson, but they are pushing him to the active roster today, according to a source. I don't think that's any great surprise. You got a firsthand look at him stretching yesterday, and it looked beautiful. It was fantastic. Thank you for those stretching videos. Man, he looked like a Hall of Famer.
Well, he did step it up and do a little bit more yesterday. The first day was a stretch on Wednesday, and there was a lot of cameras pointed in his direction, a lot of attention to a guy just really pretty much jogging. I think most of the comments were about what the size of the dip that he had in his lower lip. But then he actually, and then I saw yesterday after he practiced, and he did do a lot more, look good. I saw the remains of his dip on the side, and it was a huge, it would have filled up the side of your mouth. I think he's probably the only guy I can ever remember that practices with a big dip in his mouth.
Wow.
But it's worked for him, and I think, this is, obviously the news was terrible about Derrick Henry. He's kind of been the heart and soul of this football team, and there was a hangover for a couple of days after news of his injury and surgery and on IR. But I do think that Adrian Peterson, gives you a little bit of juice, and the guys are excited to have him. You obviously want 22 back in here and healthy, but it's I never thought I'd see the day when Julio Jones and Adrian Peterson running side by side on the practice field, and that's what happened earlier in the week. And then he looked good. I mean, he looks weird in number 8, but he looked good
running
football.
He does look weird in 8. I will grant you that. In fact, it is weird, to see 2 and 8 running side by side in Titans uniforms. It's crazy. Named Julio Jones and Adrian Peterson. But that is where we are today. We've been batting around because Chase's Braves won the World Series. Sorry, I'm not bringing this up to rub anything
Jim.
In.
You got yours last year.
But Okuda,
I was for the Braves. I have to say that. I was, after especially playing the
well, you're never going to root for the
Astros.
Astros.
But I was for the Braves. I liked it. In my younger days, I was in college, and I was surrounded by Braves fans, and I was the only Dodger fan. I could never say I was going to root for the Braves. I couldn't wait for them to lose. I wouldn't have to hear about the Braves anymore. But now that I've gotten older, I guess I've matured. I've got friends that are Braves fans. I've got, future son-in-law that's a Braves fan. My nephew's a Braves fan. I know Chase is a big Braves fan. And I actually like some of the guys on this team, whether it's D'Angelo Swanson or Jock Peterson. I love Freddie Freeman. I love Albies. They've got a fun team. They were a fun team to watch. And as much as it pained me seeing the Dodgers lose, I didn't mind the Braves winning. I think I'd have been for them against more teams than just the Astros. I'd never cheer for the Astros, but I was genuinely happy that they won.
Well, we were batting around.
Cut off your question, I guess.
Well, Acuna, no, that's Acuna goes down midway through the season. I mean, we're talking about midway through the season. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Losing their superstar player, and I said, look, I do think baseball is a little bit. Baseball and hockey, I feel like, are a little bit different, where we've got some more examples of kind of star players have gone down, and yet the team in baseball or hockey still found a way to win it all, where I feel like in the NBA and then in the NFL, it's not the case. So let me just start there. One, is this the worst injury to the biggest name in the situation that they're in since the Titans have been in Nashville? I mean, there is no example, right? Like Chris Sanders yesterday brought up Steve McNair in 99. As you know, you were on the beat covering for the Tennessee, but he missed 5 games. I told Chris, I said, yeah, but he missed five games. The diagnosis wasn't he was lost for the season, you know, or expected to be lost for the season. Neil O'Donnell came in and quarterbacked for five games. You know, Javon Kearse, if he would have had the foot stuff his rookie year, that would have impacted the team, but it wasn't his rookie year. It was basically on the way out, is, you know, towards the end, the first stint. Can you think of an example anywhere near this injury?
No, yeah, I was going to say Kearse, and yeah, I know his was 2002, and it really obviously slowed his momentum here, and he was really never the same. You know, Carlos Hall, I think, stepped in that game, had three sacks, and Freak eventually came back and just was never the same. And so I kind of go back to Freak as being the biggest injury, you know, since I've probably been on the beat. I mean, McNair, let's face it, he was always hurt and always dealing with something.
Yep.
He had the back. I could name every body part and I wouldn't hit them all. the sternum to the foot to the toe to the, you know, fingers. So, I mean, he was always kind of in and out, and it was really just a matter of when he would come back. This is different because it is more, you know, finality here with the season. I know there's some optimism about him coming back, and maybe he will. I'm not going to put that expectation on him just because I just don't think it's fair because you just don't know this early. But as far as a key player, face of the franchise, you know, huge part of what you do. I mean, there's never been a guy that's been lost halfway through after this team was, you know, in the position it's in. You know, top of the AFC, 6-2, you know, four-game winning streak. He's leading the league in rushing. Got a chance for a third straight rushing title, chance for back-to-back 2,000 yards, chance to break Eric Dickerson's mark. I mean, everything just kind of stopped, and it's weird. So, you know, now whether the team can rally around him or pick up the slack, I mean, it's going to look different. I mean, Adrian Peterson, you know, is not going to carry the ball 25, 30 times. He's going to be part of the solution, you know, with Deontay Foreman and Jeremy McNichols. I don't think that the Titans are dead in the water. Now, I've seen a lot of people say, well, Titans season's over. They're going to win this division. There's no doubt about it. I think, you know, Mike Keith, I was talking to him the other day, and he brought up something that I'd not really thought about. If the Titans go 8-1, I'm sorry, if the Titans go 4-5 the rest of the way, the Colts would have to – they won last night, so it was if the Titans went 4-5, the Colts would have to go 8-1. If the Titans go 4-5, the Colts still got to go 7-1 the rest of the way to win the division, and because of the tiebreaker. And the Colts have gotten a game at Buffalo. They got a game against the Buccaneers. You know, they've got some other games that I feel like they're going to lose. So the Titans are going to win this division. I really – you know, don't see a scenario where that doesn't happen because I think they're still a good team without Henry. But it could be different, and by myself, I'm curious just to see how things look, how things go. You know, with all that said, this game Sunday was going to be tough with or without Henry. So if things don't go that well, I think it's unfair people say, oh, well, look at the Titans without Henry. They stink. I mean, I still think this is going to be a hard game to win no matter who's back there.
Yeah, I would say unless I agree with you 100%. I mean, unless they get just boat raced 45-10, then you may have people going, yee, you know, like that. But I don't. That's not going to happen. But here is something that I have said all week, and it started on Monday. I agree with everything you just said in your conversation with Mike Keith. I've been saying that all week. Like, winning the division is not in doubt. Like, this division stinks. It's awful. Okay, the Texans and Jags are completely irrelevant, and the Colts just won last night, and they're still under 500. Like, they're going to the playoffs. They're going to win the division. But the narrative today, Jim, as you know, would be they just went through the Bills, annihilated the Chiefs, embarrassed the Chiefs, and then followed up with an overtime win in Indianapolis. We would have been talking all week that the road through the AFC goes through Nashville. That would have been the narrative today, or this week, and that hasn't been the narrative. It's the Derrick Henry injury. What's the fallout? So it's not about winning the division for me. Like, I agree. It's now what realistic shot do they have of the long run that we would have been talking about otherwise this week without Derrick Henry, if indeed he is unable to come back?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that depends on just how effective Adrian Peterson can be. And just how healthy can they stay. I mean, Julio Jones, it's funny, in another week you said that everybody would be talking about the road to Nashville, the road to the playoffs or the Super Bowl goes through Nashville. And I do agree that would have been a conversation, but I think there would have been more of a stir about Julio Jones being back on the practice field this week as well, and that's kind of been quiet. I mean, he is even taking a back seat to all the Henry news. But, you know, fact is he's back, he's practicing. If they can, you know, if they can get him healthy and get him to stay healthy and have the Julio Jones age right Jay Brown combo that they envision, then that changes the look of this team. And you know, Christian Fulton's gonna be back at some point. Jayon Brown's gonna be back probably in the very near future. You know, they still have got some key players returning that are going to help them. And, you know, I want to see how this team looks with those guys back in the mix. Peterson, you know, again, he's not going to be asked to do what the team asked Henry to do, but I do think he can help. And I think, you know, whether it's he gets 10, 12 carries a game, you know, Foreman gets 4 or 5, McNichols gets a handful and catches the ball in the backfield, you still can get some production out of your running game and running backs that's going to help you. But just what's it going to look like around them? And I think that's what I'm kind of curious to see, what things look like moving forward.
We're talking to Jim Wyatt of Titans Online or TennesseeTitans.com. The defense has obviously shown us some things that we've all been looking for, and Harold Landry leading the way with 8.5 sacks. Is there anything different you're seeing out of him, or is it simply that, you know, he's the offense or the defensive unit is just playing better as a whole?
I think he's better. I mean, I think anytime certainly you play and you try out different moves and you know what they're trying to do to you, I think your own game improves. And they worked with him this offseason, just kind of limiting what he could work on in camp. I mean, his position coach Ryan Crow said, hey, I don't want you to work on your strengths this offseason in camp. I want you to work on some other things that would maybe enhance your chances of getting the quarterback by doing different things. So I think he's grown as a player, but there's no doubt, you know, the play of the entire defense has helped him. Just like helped Kevin Byard. I asked, you know, Shane Bowen yesterday, you know, Byard looks like a different player. What's he doing differently this year that he didn't do previously? Because I don't think for a second that he was, you know, sitting on his couch in previous off, you know, going into last year when he didn't have a great year. I don't think he was sitting on his couch, you know, eating Cheeto Puffs and drinking Cokes and watching SpongeBob. I mean, I think he was working. I mean, so he's always worked, but I think he has benefited from improvement around him as well, because that's what Bowen said. When I asked him what Byard's done differently, he said, well, you know, the pass rush has helped him. So I think the play of the secondary and some other players around Landry have helped him be successful, but I'm not taking anything away from what he's done. I mean, he's been tremendous, 8.5 sacks, as you mentioned. You know, he's ahead of, he's, you know, putting up Javon Kurse type numbers. And then I think Bud Dupree, I've talked earlier about players that are getting better health-wise and curious to see what they look like in the second half of the season. I think Dupree is starting to flash a little bit more. If he can kind of come together here second half of the season, that's going to help everybody.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kevin Byard being named the Defensive Player of the Month for the AFC. He seems to be back in that form, but we're also seeing, you know, that leadership that he has, and I think that's had a big impact on the defense as well, that he's doing that both on and off the field. And that's, to me, Jim, why a lot of this is starting to work, because you're just seeing it start at the top with a guy like Byard.
Yeah, and he is a great guy. I mean, it is leadership on and off the field. And that's just, you know, he always has something going in the community, giving back. He loves Nashville because he's, you know, he played football just down the road at Murfreesboro. And, you know, he talks so much about, you know, when last season ended, about wanting to be better and committing himself to be better. And, you know, you have to respect a guy like that who works so hard to improve himself and to make sure he was a leader on this team. So he's been great. I mean, he's come up with big plays. He's creating turnovers. He's a tone setter. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why this whole defense is better.
We've talked about A.J. Brown, obviously, and him having to take a even more responsibility now, and Julio Jones. But Josh Reynolds is the key for me as that third receiver, because Jeremy McNichols is third on the team in receiving yards, and it needs to be Reynolds, in my opinion. Could this be the breakout week going against his former team? And I know Mike Vrabel brought up that he wants to see more blocking out of the receivers, so working on that. But is this where Josh Reynolds really needs to show why they signed him?
Yeah, I don't know if I can make that promise. I mean, I kind of expected more out of him when he came in, and certainly some of it had to do with injury. But, you know, he has just not really produced or really been a guy that they have called on. I mean, Marcus Johnson, you know, really has been the team's third best receiver. I say third best. He, you know, that's putting Julio ahead of him, and Julio hadn't been out there a whole lot. But Marcus Johnson was this team's best receiver through the training camp, because AJ and Julio weren't out there a lot. So, I mean, I have higher expectations from Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers helping than I do for, you know, Josh Reynolds. And maybe eventually he will get into a little bit of a groove, but he just is not, I don't know, it'd be a great Hollywood scenario, him going back to L.A. and having a big game against his old team, and maybe it'll happen. But I don't know. I guess I need to probably see more to feel confident that that's going to be the case.
Going into this game, and Darren, we've talked about this, about keeping Ryan Tannehill upright and safe through all this, but we know the challenges that the offensive line has had basically with injury. I mean, pretty much everybody on that offensive line has battled something this year, but do you feel like, or what is kind of your view on that unit as a whole right now, as Taylor Lewan had a nice game last week and as they try to get healthy?
Yeah, and that's the problem, is they just have had trouble getting guys healthy, because one guy's, you know, back in, and other guys kind of back out. I mean, Nate Davis hasn't been practicing this week because of the concussion, and, you know, yeah, he went out there Wednesday, went out there Thursday. They're getting ready to practice here in about 30 minutes, I think, at this point. Maybe I'd be surprised if he's there, which means you're going to have a different guard in there, and this is a huge challenge against Aaron Donald, and certainly, you know, adding Von Miller to the mix. Floyd is the team's leading sack producer. So, I mean, it's a very dangerous, you know, front seven that you're getting ready to face, and doing it in an environment that's going to make it tough on you. So I think they've, I think they've had certainly their ups and downs. You know, we all remember their downs when Ryan Tannehill has been down. So, they need to probably be more steady, and the way that happens is just staying together and having the same unit out there week after week after week, and hopefully that's going to happen at some point.
All right, I was going to text you, but I might as well just do it on the air, because I wanted to see what your number would be. So I want to incorporate an Adrian Peterson carries into pick six in the final hour of the show today. But I'm trying to figure out what's the right number of an over-under. So let's just say you're at one of the, you know, you're an odds maker, and you are setting the over-under. What would your number be for Adrian Peterson carries?
I would say 9.5.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's the number I had in my head.
That's right.
Wow. That's what I'm going with, because that's exactly the – but I'm like, I don't know if that's a good number, if that's a crazy number. So I was going to text you and a couple of others who cover the team on a daily basis just to see what number you floated back. And 9.5 was the number that I had. Okay. All right.
And I think some of it, you know, is going to, you know, could hinge on how the game is. You know, if it's close, if the Titans fall far behind, obviously that could shrink that number. If he's running the ball well and the Titans get a lead, then maybe that number goes up. And I will say the number this week may be different than the number
sure.
A couple of weeks from now. I mean, I think a lot of it's going to depend on him, how he produces, you know, and how some of these other guys do. But, yeah, I think I would start off at 9.5.
Oh, no, that's exactly – I mean, you laid it out perfectly. You went through all the steps that I went through in my head of, okay, once we see him, once we start seeing how this is going to work, we'll have a better feel. But right now it's the unknown, right? We have no idea. what's the flow of the game? What's the game look like early on? Do they, you know, do they get down in a 14-0 hole again like they did in Indy, which could change things? You know what I mean? There's so many factors. Are they in control? Are they, you know, do they jump out and take the lead and they're trying to chew up clock? There's a lot of factors, and you just don't know. Also, he hasn't done anything this entire season. But that is interesting because 9.5 was the number I had in my head, and I didn't have any clue if that was a good number or not. And now that you've said 9.5, I think we're going to roll with 9.5.
Yeah, but I think that's a good number. Yeah,
all right, Jim.
Solid.
I take that to Vegas.
By the way, what would you do if you were participating in Pick 6? Would you do over or would you do under?
Yeah, that's I would probably maybe go over thinking he's going to get 11. Maybe I'd bank that he's going to get 11.
Okay. All right. I think it's going to be an interesting question. Hey, thanks for the visit. Go enjoy practice. I want to see some good stretching today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, when Adrian talks today after practice for the first time, so we got that to look forward to. So, what a cast! Yeah, I never thought on the fence line we've got interviews today with Adrian Peterson, Julio Jones, AJ Brown, Taylor Lewan, and Taylor Lewan, I guess, is probably he's probably one of the intro acts. When some days he'd be the headliner. So.
He's now the warm-up band.
He's probably laying low after his spill on Michigan State, Michigan last week.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, thanks for the visit as always.
Okay, y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. That is Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. If I would have asked you, just be honest, I mean, if I would have just posed it to you, what number would you have said?
I mean, I was right around 9.5, 10.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think he nailed it.
Yeah, I was playing the range game, like 8.5 to 10.5. I'm like, okay, the floor is 8.5, the ceiling's 10.5, and that's when I was like, I think maybe just going in the middle is the right number. So that's the number I had in my head. And then when Jim said it, I'm like, that's okay. That makes we got to do 9.5. And by the way, if you notice, his answer was like, I guess I would take. You know, he was not definitive about his answer, right? Which I think it's going to be interesting where people go with this. But I don't know. Maybe we make it 10.5 to make it trickier. I feel like 9.5 may make everybody go over. If you go 10.5, it's like
that's interesting.
Then you're gonna have people going, "Oh man, okay." That kind of because it's that extra. You know how different that makes it, right?
Yeah. No, that's interesting.
That's the number I gave Chase this morning.
Did you say 10.5?
I said Chase over under 10.5. Adrian Peterson carries in this game.
Okay. See, I think maybe 10.5 is the better way to go because I think it makes things tougher. Makes your decision a little
bit
tougher.
It's not as
in this market, right?
Clear cut.
Because you do have to play, I mean, as you know, the books they play to the market as well. Because that's why numbers are different in some places than others. And I think that's the part like at times, you know, Willie's like, Why did you put that number? Like that's not the it's like, well, that's because in our market you have to adjust the line. Because if you don't, everybody's going to go one direction.
Right.
Not the music act, but, you know, they're going to go one way. Did you young guys not get the One Direction reference? No?
I did. I just
chose not to.
I grew up with a sister that was 7 years younger than me, so yeah, I definitely understood the One Direction
You just chose
reference.
To ignore it. Good move.
You don't know you're beautiful, Elijah.
And that's what makes me. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. And then we went there. All right, we'll come back. By the way, Alan Bell, speaking of betting.
There's a parade on.
We'll talk to him. Yeah, you're a little bit distracted. We'll talk to him to begin the second hour of the program as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.